We have a walking miracle in our Sunday school class.
Yes.
Miss Lois Sally, she's new to Brookhaven. She moved here in January. And she just jumped right in. She's Alicia Linton's mother-in-law. And she showed up Monday to work at the garage sale. Worked all day long. Women on Mission came that night. She just stayed and kept on working. We worked till about 8 o'clock. Tuesday, she showed up, worked all day, garage sale. And Wednesday morning when she got woke up to get out of bed and she stood up, she fell because her whole right side was completely paralyzed. She didn't know what had happened. But luckily her phone fell right near her where she could reach it. She called Dallas. Dallas came and got her. And they thought she had had a stroke. Did you have a stroke? Is that what they're saying? It was a real stroke. They got her to the emergency room. She went to St. Dominic's. She had surgery because she had a blood clot on her brain, was in ICU. She walks into the garage sale yesterday. I'm like, girl, what are you doing here? Stayed the whole time. But she is a walking miracle. God has been good. We're so thankful, Lois. Yes.
I want to thank each.
I know. It's hard. You want to come up and talk to me? Mm-mm. No. She just wants to say thank you.
Yes. Each one of you. Prayer works.
Yes, it does.
Don't ever doubt.
Yes.
Do not ever doubt.
Well, that's good because that we're going to be talking about prayer this morning. Isn't that perfect?
Every step, God is there.
Yes.
Don't doubt it.
Yes.
My fiance had two strokes.
Yes, he did. Yes, yeah. He did. We're so thankful. So thankful.
Don't fall.
Yes. You know, I just happened to be at the hospital. I got a text from my son. Dallas Linton's mom is in the emergency room. They think she's had a stroke. And I was able just to go right to the emergency room and see her and pray with her. So that was a God thing, too. We are going to keep it open for 3 weeks. We were hoping to build a bedroom at the Dickerson Place, which costs $35,000. So we're hoping there's going to be a report in church this morning and hoping to encourage if people weren't able to give to the garage sale or work, but they would like to be a part of it, maybe they will give a donation. So I just think that is truly amazing. But let's open with a word of prayer. Our Father, we're so blessed this morning. We thank you for the joy of life. We thank you for our church and the fellowship that we have in our church. I thank you for the good works that you prepared beforehand that we would walk in them, Father. It's such a joy to serve you together. And now this morning, as we come to our Sunday school lesson, I ask you to just bless our hearts with your word. I pray for great encouragement this morning as we study together. I pray that you'll stir up our hearts, Father, as we look at truths out of your word, that a stirring that will cause us to follow you very, very closely. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, welcome back to our study, Habits of Grace. And we are studying this little book by a man named David Mathis, who actually is... I think he's the lead pastor at the church where John Piper was a pastor, but John Piper is now retired. And if he's not the lead pastor, he's one of the lead pastors. But he's just a very gifted man, and I've really been enjoying our lessons. I found them to be rich and encouraging. We've been gently exhorted as we've been studying it. We started out talking about God's grace. Habits of grace. How can we position ourselves to be in a place, to receive the maximum benefit of the grace of God. We said we're saved by grace, we know that, but we're also sustained by grace. We'll be what we are by the grace of God. The whole Christian life is nothing but grace, grace, grace from beginning to end. If not for God's grace, we would perish. We would be without hope. So I'm so thankful for God's grace. Now, we said in the beginning of our lessons that there were three general pathways that put us in a position to receive maximum grace. Now, I'm going to let you talk around your tables, and we're having a little test. Can you remember the three major pathways that this book is discussing that will take us to a place where we can receive maximum grace? All right, go. Are your brains working this morning?
No.
Okay, well, the one we've been studying for the last 4 weeks is the first one on our list would be the Word of God. The second one on our list is prayer, and the third one on the list would be fellowship. They're such simple things. We know all about them, and yet they're so spectacular in their ability to take us into God's matchless grace. Now, we've been looking at that first one, the Word of God, for the last 4 weeks. And this morning, I'm going to introduce you to the second one, which is prayer. But before we go to prayer, I'm going to say a few more words about the Word of God. And I've been praying that this lesson will greatly encourage your hearts this morning as a Christian woman. So here we are this morning. Well, I think before we move to prayer, I want you to talk a little more around your small group about prayer. To answer, I'm going to give you just a few minutes. Somebody be the leader at your table. Ask the question and just answer it around your table. On those little, I think there are three things that we're going to that are in your small group discussion there. So go. I'm going to give you a few minutes to talk about those things as a way, as an introduction into prayer. Then I'm going to come back, say a few things more about God's Word, and then move into prayer. So do that right now at your table. Pick a leader.
I would say it's great too.
about done. Come back to me. So here we are this morning. We're in Sunday school together. We call ourselves disciples of Jesus, right? What is a disciple anyway? Well, the word disciple, let's think about it. It means learner. It means you are a learner. We have a master, and day by day, you and I are learning from our master. God has designed the church to be a community of people who are lifelong learners. See, the Christian life isn't something that we get inducted into, then we just take this little 8-week course to get the basics, and then we get it, and then we're set, and we've got everything mastered. No, no, no. It is meant to be an ongoing life that is linked to ongoing learning. And let me say something else. Age doesn't necessarily bring wisdom with it. It's true, there are many, many older saints of God. They're incredibly wise in the Lord, but there are far too many others that are growing older and they're approaching old age only to be stuck in the trenches of stubbornness or irritability or careless ways of thinking and living. That's not what we want, right? So let's begin with a wonderful verse this morning. It's one of our favorite verses. It's a rich verse. It's a comforting verse. And listen to what Paul says in Philippians 1:6. He says, "For I am very confident of this very thing, that he, God, who began a good work in you, will perfect it." Another version says, "will bring it all the way to completion." Now that's such a great promise. But the statement doesn't stop there. Notice what it says. Yes, we have this great promise. He's going to complete his work in me. But notice what follows about the timing of the completion. It says, until the day of Christ Jesus. Now what I want you to see is that our loop of learning never closes at any time in our Christian life while we are on earth. It's a loop of learning that never stops. It doesn't close today. It doesn't close tomorrow. It is meant to continue as long as Jesus tarries. Our whole lifetimes are meant to be growing and learning. And even in heaven, we should expect that our learning will not be done, because look at Ephesians 2:7. It says, so that in the ages to come, he, speaking of Jesus, may show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Even into eternity, we will be discovering new mercies, fresh revelations, new things to learn about our Lord. So we're given this promise of increase. So let's write it this way on our handouts. It is not only for our entire lifetimes, but also into all eternity. And so the name of this chapter that I'm pulling these thoughts out of is this: be a lifelong learner. This is his last word after all he said concerning being a woman of the Word of God. What has he said? Well, first of all, read it. Then let that lead to study. Let that lead to meditation. Let that lead to memorization. Take it to heart. Bring it home. And now he's saying, see yourself as a lifetime learner. First, let's clarify what we're talking about exactly. Because, yes, there's the Bible. It's this body of truth that we embrace in the beginning of our Christian life. It's the word. It's the message about Jesus. It's the gospel message. But then after that comes the rest of our lives, where we will be exploring and going deeper into this word, this message about Jesus. We cannot mine its depths. So let's write it this way on our handouts. The very center of our lifelong learning is, number one, the person of Christ. Put that first. And then number two, the work of Christ. Those two things. And can I just tell you this morning, we will never exhaust the subject. Now look at Colossians 1:17 on your handout. There Paul says, he, speaking of Christ, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. You see, all things are in him and through him and for him. Now, when I talk about us being lifelong learners, I'm not just talking about, okay, I got to learn more facts. Let me get the facts. Let me memorize facts. Or let me get information. I'm not talking about head knowledge. What I'm talking about is more than that. We're to learn a face. You see, write it on your handout. We're not just learning principles. We're learning a person. So put that down. We are to become lifelong learners in relationship with Christ. So it involves relationship with Jesus. Add that to your handout. You see, we go to God's Word, we hear His voice, and then we have His ear in prayer, and then we share in the community of the body, and it's all through the power of the Holy Spirit. And one of the chief ways we know His person more is by learning about His work that He did on our behalf. It's what Paul was praying for the church in Ephesians, chapter 3, 17 through 19. Here's what he's praying. I'm praying that you'll be rooted, you'll be grounded in love. That's just the beginning. But then he goes on to pray that we'll be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled up to the fullness of God. Oh my, it will take beyond our lifetimes to ever come to the place where we're filled up with the fullness of God, because it's ever increasing. So the heart of lifelong learning for the Christian, it's more than just learning information. It's more than learning facts about the world and about humanity and about history. Lifelong learning is for the Christian what we should be desiring more than anything. Just plunging into the infinite sea of the love of Christ. Let's write it this way on our handout. The center of lifelong learning for the Christian is this. It is coming to know and enjoy God Himself. In Christ, through the gospel, and through the written word of Scripture. As we hear it, as we read it, as we study it, as we meditate on it, and as we memorize it, I'm going to just give you five principles for a lifelong learner, and then we're going to introduce our subject of prayer. Number one, vary your sources and seasons. Vary your sources and seasons. Under that, let's add this, personal conversations. Here's the thought. To vary your sources. Look around your church. Look around your life, your family. You identify people who are experienced believers, who are knowledgeable, who are godly. Learn from them. Go to them. Talk to them. Pick their brains. Be curious. Ask them questions. Receive words of wisdom with them. Go to them with your situations, where you are in life, and get their insights. Let them help you. Here's another thought. Books. Put that next. Here's another source. Books are wonderful. I am such a bookworm. I've learned on Amazon, you know, you can buy used books. And you can buy used books for just a couple of dollars. So I'm reading in one book, and he references another book. And I think, that sounds like a good book. And I look it up on Amazon. Well, there it is for $1.99. I cannot resist. I have stacks of books, $1.99. But they're wonderful. They're accessible anytime, anywhere. You go at your own speed, in your own time, at your own pace. And then you get one book that was so wonderful, you know what you do? You reread it. And then you put it back, and then months later you bring it out again because it ministered to you. Here's another thing put on your handout, classes. You see, classes provide an advantage of learning where you're meeting in the context of other people. You benefit from their questions, their input, and you're forced to focus on material at some set time for some particular season. For example, you join Thursday morning Bible study. You go to Sundays at 5. These are just opportunities for you to have another source. Take advantage of them. Take advantage. And then there are teaching videos. Put that next. These are wonderful because you can watch at a time that's most convenient for you. And you can benefit from seeing them on the video and their visuals and their charts or their facial expressions or their body language. Here's one of my favorites. It's just listening to audio. Put that down. Listening to audio. Because you and I live in a day where we can even access, I read Martin Lloyd-Jones's biography. I was just blown away by his biography. Well, then I found out, you know what? There's an app, and I can listen to all of his sermons on that app. And as I'm driving, as I'm doing cooking in the kitchen, as I'm in the bathtub, I'm listening to Martin Lloyd-Jones. He's got the most wonderful English accent. But you can access anybody on the internet and listen to wonderful Bible teachers. You can do it while you exercise. You can do it while you vacuum. Does anybody ever still vacuum? I do.
Hey, what was that name you said, Martin?
Martin Lloyd-Jones. Lloyd-Jones, yes. He was a pastor back in the early 19th century. Here's another thing I want us to write down, a second suggestion. Create space and redeem spare time. This one is huge. Now, obviously, if you're in the stage of life with young family, this is more difficult for you to make space in your life because that's an intense time as far as consuming 24 hours a day. It's a busy time. It's more difficult to make room. But the truth is, you can create little windows of time and space for learning. Maybe it's only 5 or 10 minutes of reading as you go to bed tonight, at night. Or maybe it's only a few extra minutes of lingering over the Bible in the morning. Or listening to a short podcast. I put 2 podcasts on your handout that David Mathis mentioned in his book, Ask Pastor John, that's talking about John Piper, and then the Gospel Coalition. If you don't ever access that, that is just a wonderful resource for just good teaching and listening. You can listen to these things while you're brushing your teeth in the morning, while you're commuting to work, while you're running your errands. You're being efficient. You're keeping God's word before you. Or maybe just keep a bookmark in a good book, and maybe you can only read it in spurts. Or maybe you're reading something on your iPad. Here's 3. Mind your mindless moments. I love this one. Yes, we got to make margin in our lives for our families, and we're at the ballpark, we're around the TV together, we go out, we eat, we go to the movie, whatever. But a lifelong learner guards her spare moments. She makes sure that her spare moments aren't all eaten up by mindless entertainment. Lifelong learning over time will mean developing the resistance to just simply get on your couch, get your phone, and veg out whenever you feel the impulse. Instead, learn to harness your moments and take them and pull them in and make them opportunities for spiritual growth. It may not feel like you're investing much time on any given day, but cumulative, as you take moments in your day for learning, it pays a huge benefit over the long haul of your life. Here's number four, adapt to new media. You see, once a long time ago, a lifelong learner was noted by his tattered pencil pages, his personal library, and then here came along 8-track tapes. Well, then that became obsolete, and here came cassette tapes. Remember those? And that became obsolete, and here came DVDs and CDs. But today, you can store a whole library on your computer, and podcasts are so accessible. Free education courses online are accessible like never before. And then there's all the social media. You can invite all kinds of godly people to be your friends, and they're speaking into you as you're scrolling on your social media. Here's number five, embrace the identity of being a learner. Get the conviction in your heart, ladies, that healthy Christianity means I'm going to embrace the importance of becoming a lifelong learner. I'm going to claim it as my identity. I'm going to claim it as my super strength, my superpower. I'm going to fight against the tide that takes learning to be something that's just quarantined to school days, to childhood, to adolescence. I'm going to make it something that is undergirding my adulthood. And I'm going to resist the urge to squander spare time on mindless entertainment without limits. Now, I just love the little game Blockscapes. Have y'all played Blockscapes? Well, I'm telling you, it's addictive. It's, you know, all these little things, and you're trying to get a big score. But I have to set a timer on myself. Because you know what? I could sit there for hours and play Blockscapes. So, you know, I say, I'm just going to give myself 30 minutes for Blockscapes, because if I don't, it'll consume me. You have to be disciplined. Embrace the fact that you're not going to live forever. You know, one day we'll be released into the glorious eternity of God. And I want to position myself to never stop learning. I want to consider learning as a great joy. I want to learn all the days of my life. I want to embrace the truth that, in a sense, as new creations, I'm never going to actually arrive, and I'm just going to resolve that as long as I have breath, I'm going to continue learning and growing. Now, I want to spend a few minutes in our time that's left, and let's explore this new pathway that I'm introducing called prayer. The name of the chapter is Having God's Ear. I put 2 Peter 5:10 on your handout because there we find out that God is the God of all grace. All grace. Now let's just catalog what He has done. Let's think about it. He chose us, the Bible says, before the world began. He sent His Son to save us. And then He whispered our name and called us to follow Him, and we were gloriously born again. These are just wonderful personal realities about our God. But in addition, He sustains the whole of our Christian lives from day to day. He does it all by His grace. He covers us with unexpected kindnesses through people, through circumstances, in good times and in bad times. He showers us with favor. in sickness and in health, in life and in death. And now it is time for us to come and explore this well-worn pathway called prayer. Now, the Word of God and prayer go together. Let's write it this way on our handout. God is a speaking God, that's the Word, who listens, that's prayer. They're connected. It's two-way communication. He reveals himself. He expresses his heart. He unveils to us the truth about his Son. He does it all through his Word. And in the beginning, he created everything by speaking it into existence. And then, in our spiritual births, he recreated us also by the Word of the Gospel. And it's just a wonder. And we need to be astonished this morning. Not only does he express himself, but he invites us to hear his voice, and he also wants to hear our voice. Now think about it. I put it on your handout. You have the ear of God. Is that amazing? Let that sink in. Let's write some things down about prayer. I'm going to go fast. Prayer is talking to God. Prayer is being relational with God. Prayer is personal. He is the absolute person. You and I have been created and fashioned in his image. He's the creator. We're the creatures. He's the great Lord. We're his happy servants. And because of his extravagant love and grace, he invites us to interact. He opened his mouth and spoke to us, and then he opens his ear to hear us. So prayer is more than just talking to God. Write it this way. Prayer is responding to the one who has initiated toward us by speaking to us first.
Which one is that?
What is that?
Is that on there? Don't worry about it. Here's one that I know is on there. This is not a conversation that we started. I love this. It's a relationship into which we have been drawn. We've been drawn. We didn't start the conversation. You see, he spoke first. His voice breaks the silence, and then we in prayer respond to him. Our asking, our pleading, our requesting, it doesn't originate from our emptiness, but from his fullness. So put that on your handout. I think that's on there. And prayer doesn't begin with our needs. It begins with his bounty. So write this down. It begins first in adoration. We're just responding to the grace that's been given to us. It's a happy, joyful response from a bride who joyfully submits to her groom, and she's responding to his sacrificial and life-giving initiative. Now stop this morning and just be stunned by a very simple statement in the Psalms. It comes from Psalm 6:9. Let it land on your heart this morning. The Lord accepts my prayer. That's right. He accepts your prayer. Now think about it. And let that amaze you this morning. You have the ear of God. He's hearing you, he's accepting you, he's receiving your prayers. Now let's talk about the purpose of prayer just a little bit. It isn't primarily about getting things from God. It is primarily about getting God himself. I like that statement. Listen to this quote by John Piper. I put it on your handout. It is not wrong to want God's gifts and to ask for them. Most prayers in the Bible are for the gifts of God. But ultimately, every gift should be desired because it shows us and brings us more of him. When this world totally fails, the ground for joy remains God. Therefore, surely every prayer for life and health and home and family and job and ministry in this world is secondary, and the great purpose of prayer is to ask that in and through all his gifts, God would be our joy. And then I put another quote that I liked by C.S. Lewis on prayer. Here's what he says. Prayer in the sense of petition, asking for things, is a small part of it. Confession and penitence are its threshold. Adoration is its sanctuary. The presence and vision and enjoyment of God is its bread and wine. You see, prayer is to come humbly, expectantly, and because of Jesus, to come boldly into the conscious presence of God, relating to him, talking with him, and ultimately to enjoy him as our great treasure. So write this down. Prayer is then ultimately about having more of God. It's not about having a little prayer each day as a duty or a daily ritual. It's all about learning how to have a wonderful relationship with a personal God. I'm his. He's mine. Prayer is us getting to know one another. Prayer is me relating to him. And so because he's holy, we approach him with adoration and worship. Because, oh my goodness, he's so worthy of that. And because he's merciful, I come into his presence with repentance and confession of my sin and my shortcomings. And because he is gracious, I come to him with a thankful heart, full of appreciation that I'm coming to a throne of grace. And because he is so loving and so caring, I come with my request for myself, for my family, for my friends, for my world, for my church. This is supplication. Well, Teresa, when am I to pray? Well, let's learn from the early church. Look on your handout at Acts 1:14. It says there, all these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer. It was a devotion of their lives. Look at Romans 12:12. It says there, be constant in prayer. Colossians 4:2, continue steadfastly in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Ephesians 6, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. You know, we said as we were studying in our previous weeks about the Word, do you remember me saying we want to circle our lives around God's Word? We want to make it the center. We want to do the same thing with prayer. Prayer is not just on my to-do list. Okay, I need a little time of prayer. Okay, click, I did that, got that out of the way. Now what's my next thing? No. Prayer is something I'm going to center around, God's Word and prayer. God speaking to me. I'm speaking to him. So this study is calling us for more than just developing duties. It's a call to have an intimate relationship with an extraordinarily attentive divine Father who is eager to give us good things. He gives good things to those who ask him. Look at it there on your handout, out of Matthew 7:11. And then in Matthew 6:8, make a note of it because I forgot. I left it off your handout. But there it tells us this. He knows what we need before we even come to ask him. But he wants us to ask. He wants to hear our voice. He wants us to interact. It's a real relationship. He's more ready to hear us than we are to pray. And it's all possible through the person and work of his Son. Look at Romans 8:34 on your handout. It tells us there, Right now, he is at the right hand of God interceding for us. And then I love Hebrews 7:25, and we'll close with this. It says he's able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Now, in the coming weeks, this is just a way of introducing you, our subject, to prayer. We are going to be exploring all kinds of details about prayer. Now, here's my question. Do you want to increase? Do you want to be a greater prayer warrior? Do you? Is this something you're interested in? Do you want to be a woman of prayer? Do you want to be a woman who centers around God's Word and who centers around prayer? Well, if you do, I'm going to invite you to come back and join me in the coming weeks. We're going to be taking different aspects of prayer and really camping in there. And today was just sort of a general introduction. And I think you're going to enjoy this, and I think it's going to encourage you. I don't want to make you feel guilty because you're not a better prayer warrior. For years, I just struggled with prayer. I feel like just in recent years, I've come into a deeper prayer life, and it's so rich. It's not about making you feel guilty. It's about giving you tools. It's about encouraging you. It's about seeing what God's Word says, and hopefully those things will gently exhort us to become women of prayer. Because we all know prayer is powerful, right? And so let's come, let's study together, and let's become greater prayer warriors. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for this wonderful vehicle that we have. We have your word, you speak to us, and you've given us this amazing invitation to come to you in the name of Jesus and pray. We can relate to you. We can have a relationship with you. You hear us, we hear you, and we know prayer is powerful. And so, Father, make us to be women of prayer. Would you take this study, and would you use it in our lives to exhort us, to give us tools, to help us, Father, to have that deep conviction, to have a life centered around your word and around us praying to you. We pray this in Jesus' name this morning. Amen. All right, I will see you next week. Lots to learn.